Today on Rockin' the Suburbs. Let's try that again. Today on Rockin' the Suburbs. Patrick, that's your cue. It's your turn on the intro.
Oh, sorry, Jim. I was just dreaming about how cool it would be to do a live event at the Tiki House.
So the weather really has turned here in Northern Virginia. Mm-hmm. And the last couple of days have been like weird, like cold and wind. You notice that?
I have.
Yeah. There was stuff blowing around my deck last night. I know. It was really cold and crazy and everything. And I bring this up because it seemed like just a week prior to that, we were enjoying a lovely evening at Greg Wilson's house, right?
I was sunbathing for a while. It was beautiful out there.
It was really nice. Greg Wilson, he has the Tiki Bar. Yeah. Listeners of the podcast will remember we've recorded at the Tiki Bar before.
We have.
And so he wanted to have like a special event at his house. He thought with his spacious backyard, maybe we could have a live band play there.
Man.
And we did that.
Did do that.
And the band we lined up was this band called Kid Brother. I'll explain that in a minute here. Let's introduce ourselves. This show is Rockin' the Suburbs, and we really, truly were rockin' the suburbs.
Yeah. That was happening.
Heard in Virginia. Mm-hmm. I'm Jim Lenihan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
And with us is...
Intern Sam.
In the house, Jim, we are at full capacity.
Yeah, full capacity.
Full capacity, Sam.
We're at your house now, Patrick. We're not at the Tiki Bar.
No.
And this is the first time, I believe, I've actually recorded with you all in Patrick's basement.
I think that's right.
So this is a legendary moment here.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Monumental.
What do you think, Sam? Mm-hmm. Do I need some more records?
I think you can maybe add a little bit more.
Yeah.
There's a space right here.
Yeah, I think there's about
right room there,
for five.
Right there.
Yeah.
You're fine.
We'll figure
it's out. Like a, it's like another version of an NPR tiny desk. You know,
Thank you, Sam.
That's what it reminds me of.
It does have that kind of look to it. So
what
Sam was there.
Got it.
Sam was there at Greg's house at the Tiki Bar because he was, first of all, we enjoyed having him there, but then also he brought along his video camera. He shot some video of the whole thing. So we'll have that up for some people. Maybe some short clips for the general public and then longer stuff on the Patreon, I think is how we're going to do it.
Mm-hmm. One of the hardest working men in media is with us
absolutely.
At this table. I mean, it's incredible.
It was a lot of fun. And what's so great about working with you all is I get to experiment with different things. So I was able to try out different camera angles and play around with the audio and see what looked best. The best part is we filmed this thing outside. So we had Mother Nature on our side that day and it looked really good.
Yeah,
that was
beautiful.
Great. So the first thing we did was we gathered the band together and we did an interview with them in the Tiki Bar.
That's right.
And you're going to hear that interview over the next two episodes, today and tomorrow. And the reason why we wanted to have Kid Brother play, a couple reasons. I know this band. They are from Leesburg, Virginia, and I had seen them once before, and they put out an album a couple of years ago called Baltimore Street Rat, and I really enjoyed that record, and anyone can go listen to that on the streaming services, Spotify, what have you.
It's there.
I really like that. And then, listeners may remember this too, earlier this year when I was taking a trip back to visit family in Toledo, Ohio, I took the time to interview a guy I knew who was a long time, sort of really a music legend in Toledo, this
true
guy
legend.
named Stephen J. Athanas. And I was interviewing him, and I had learned just prior to the interview that his son is in this band, Kid Brother, that I had seen in Leesburg, Virginia. So it was such a weird thing. So I was like, let's close the loop on that.
Yeah.
Let's have these guys over,
have them
play in the backyard, but also do an interview while we can. And I will say the interview is fun, and I think people are going to enjoy it. And we don't know a lot yet, but I think big things are in the works for this band for next year.
Totally, man. Yeah. And great guys. It was really, really cool to watch them sort of stretch out and get into their vibe in the Wilson backyard.
Certainly. And their drummer's name is Sam, too.
That's right.
So that's right.
It was cool.
It was all just, it was great.
So Sam Athanas would be the son of Stephen J. I mentioned. Okay, so should we go ahead and check out this interview?
Let's do it.
I think so.
All right, let's do that. Here is Kid Brother. Remember when you wrote that song? You said it honestly. Gonna see you soon, my friend. Blue heart's just gotta bleed. Yeah, yeah. He don't care about it. Nobody. We are here at the Tiki House.
Yes, we are, Jim. It's
the Greg Wilson Tiki House.
Yeah, and it really feels like fall. Can you sense that there's a little fall in the air? Have a little bit of the fall fever?
It is a beautiful fall mid-Atlantic day here in Herndon, Virginia. Mm-hmm. And it's very exciting. We're at maximum capacity here at the Tiki House Bar.
Yeah.
Because we have the five members of the band Kid Brother.
Whoop, whoop.
Hey.
That's awesome.
Hey. Whoop, whoop. Hello.
Thanks, you guys, for doing this. We really appreciate it.
Absolutely. No problem. We're happy to do it.
They came over here on this beautiful fall day to play a show.
Yep.
Here on the backyard a little bit later on, and we thought we'd get to know them ahead of time.
That's right. That's right.
Why don't we go around and you guys can introduce yourselves real quick.
Yeah, for sure. My name's Christian. I'm the lead singer and guitarist in Kid Brother.
My name's Dylan. I play guitar.
My name's Richard, and I play bass.
My name's Sam, and I play drums.
My name's Piano, and I play the keyboard, and I also sing.
Very appropriate if you play
guitar.
Yeah. Please be soon.
Was that predetermined by your parents?
It is an Italian name.
Is it really?
It is Italian. It means softly, right?
It's soft, right? Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
I learned a lot about you today.
Okay. I want to start this interview with Sam because this is my opening question here is what does it feel like, Sam, to be the son of a rock star?
Oh, yeah. That's true.
It's great. A lot of inspiration from my dad's bands, and he's been on your show before.
Yes, he has.
Really?
Yes, he has.
Stephen J. Athanas. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What? Yeah.
This is true. This is how it all started.
That's awesome.
we played in Toledo for the first time. What, like 3 months ago?
Oh, really? That's cool.
Yeah, we played at what was it?
Ottawa Tavern.
Ottawa Tavern. That place was awesome.
Yeah. It's the new Ottawa. You remember, it's not the original Ottawa Tavern.
I went to the old Ottawa Tavern. Yeah.
But yeah, we all got to play up in front of my dad, and I think you guys talked about my Uncle Dave, so like a lot of musicians up there, but
cool, Dave.
It's pressure when, you know, you're playing in front of the family, but it's good. It's good.
No, I think you were like super excited though. It's
nervous energy. Right. It's positive and fear, and there's just like lots of feelings with all that.
But that was awesome though, getting to see like that whole side of your family like come out. And your mom's side.
Yeah, my mom's side, it's all musicians on both sides. Yeah. So
but I mean, are you guys aware that, you know,
boy are we.
I won't shut up about it.
It's a proud son.
I think we're way more inquisitive about it than like you are like telling us about it. Like we're just always like, so like were they that big? And like no, we actually went to Toledo and everybody was like, you have to be
We went to that music store?
Yeah, and everyone knew him.
Yeah, so we went to this music store.
They're like, he's a legend.
Drumsticks or something, I don't remember. And then this guy like walked up and he's like, wait a minute, is your dad Steven? And we were like, holy shit. Sam wasn't kidding.
He's a legend there, man.
Yeah, that was so cool. Yeah. Like just to like see that. And then we stayed, his brother bought his grandparents' house.
Yeah.
And there was like still like the rooms were still pretty much the same for the most part. And there was like all these like publications and stuff on the walls of his dad and like the bands he played in.
Yeah.
And he pretty much looks like still goes for that vibe. The first time I met him, he was wearing like a, was it like a, like a, what was it? Like
he,
it a was, long dress. And he
looked
at me
sarong.
And he's like, a sarong. He looked at me and he goes, that's what you're going to wear on stage? Or he's like, when are you changing? And I was like, no, this is what I'm wearing. It was like t-shirt and jeans. He's like, that's what you're wearing on stage. I was like, hi, it's nice to meet you. I'm Christian.
He was so disappointed that we weren't going to change into our show gear.
I know. It was like show gear.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
He comes from that era. Where
You
dress up for a show. You put on rock star wear.
Perform.
Yeah, exactly.
We don't do that.
I was like, do I have to wear a shirt?
All right. So why don't you guys tell us the Kid Brother origin story? How did the band start? Get together, how long you guys been going?
Yeah, so I would say like as Kid Brother as an entity, it's been probably like 2.5 years, but as like us knowing each other has been like, so I've known Sam since 2015, I think, 2014. All right, no, it's 2014 because I was in a bunch of bands in Baltimore throughout, like since I was like in high school, and then the last band I was in, I was just like you know, I loved them and it was an awesome band, but it just kind of fizzled out and we were doing pretty well. But I moved down here because most of my best friends moved down to Northern Virginia to work at Amazon. And I was like coming down all the time. So I eventually moved down here and I had to get a job. So I started working at a bar in Leesburg and Sam was the GM of the bar. And I think it was like a month in, you were like, I played drums and I've played in a band before. And we were just like talking about that. And then we were like sharing music and we were like, let's just get together and play. So we like set up after the bar closed on a stage that they had inside. And I would just play guitar and he would play drums. And then eventually we were like, do you want to make a band? And I was like, I don't know. It's like a lot of work. And it's like, you know, but we can just, let's just mess around. So we were just messing around for like a year, 2 years. And then I was writing songs in my room, just like recording them and, you know, distributing them to my friends and stuff. And then I met Dylan and he came into the bar and I think I was like, I'm Greek and you're Greek. Let's be friends. And he was like, this dude sucks.
Every time I'd come in there for like I guess until we like actually talked or met, I would just like walk into the bar and I would hear like from like some other sidebar, he'd be like, my Greek brother. They're like, do you know that guy? I'm like, kind of.
I think he's Greek. Yeah. But oddly enough, 3 out of 5 members of our band are Greek.
Yeah.
That's an anomaly. Yeah.
Kid Greek.
Yeah, that was an idea for a name for a while. That and Salmon Christian, but spelled like the fish salmon. Mm. So it's Sam and Christian. Mm-hmm. But you really like that name.
Yeah, it was pretty goofy.
But then we had other members kind of come in and come out. And as time progressed, we met another band just kind of in the mix that we were playing shows with. And Richard had played in that band. And eventually we like needed a bass player and he played guitar in that band. And then we were like, we need a bass player to like play bass. And he was like, I can do it. And he'd always talked about like playing with us. And when we were on tour one time with them, we were playing with the band that he was in and our other old bass player wasn't able to come. And so Richard played bass in our band. And so he would play 2 shows a night when we were on tour, which is like crazy. It's gotta be super exhausting, especially sleeping like 5 hours, because that was like, we just like went way too hard on that tour, like every single night. And then we were like, this is awesome, like we really like everything you bring to the table and you're such a talented guy, and like our personalities just meshed so well. It's just such a like a loving environment, which we like really try to push for, is like within the band, within like other people, just, you know, being as like loving and honest as you can, because I think that's how you keep bands together. And then we, our keyboardist, our old keyboardist, she had to leave on a great note. She's an amazing person. We like love her to death. But we needed a keyboardist and a singer as well. And I specifically wanted it to be a girl, because I think the vocal kind of like match up between my voice and a female voice is really nice. And I think it's kind of like something that people initially really liked. And so we met, Richard told us about, piano, and she had played in a band that was local as well. And we looked up a bunch of videos and we were like, damn, she's like fucking good. And like, so we like kind of like nervously asked her and she was like, yeah, totally. That sounds great. We're like, really? Like, you're like, really? And so she joined up, and that was over the course of pretty much 2 or 3 years. And that's kind of how it all came together. And here we are, and it's like awesome. I wouldn't want to be playing in any different band.
And Christian, were you guys playing right away when you got together mm-hmm. right away? So all during this evolution that you just talked about, you've been playing shows mm-hmm. locally and kind of regionally?
As much as possible. Cause that's like that's the best part of playing in a band, is playing the shows.
Yep.
It's the most stressful too, but it's still like, that's
the best.
That's the best. That's why you do it. Like, I mean, some people like studio time. I'm not huge on being in the studio. I don't not enjoy it, but I'm the type of person that gets very bored easily. So I have to like go throw a football or something. Like, so shows are just like, you're constantly doing something, even if it's like loading in and then like, playing the show and then loading out, selling merch stuff. So it's just like stimulating the whole time.
Studio is like a totally different experience, right?
Yeah.
It's so calm.
It's so like, show, you're playing, it's spontaneous. You're doing mm-hmm. something. It's all so in the moment.
Yeah.
Studio is like, repetition
you're doing it individually, and somebody's saying like, that was good, but like, I know you can do it better, and you're like, this is like 41 times I'm doing this. But yeah,
and kinda, more cowbell. I usually say that.
Always more cowbell, yeah, which yeah. I've suggested. We can Sam. Let's say
Samuel.
You don't use a wood block and you don't use a cowbell. No, that would sound terrible.
One day, we'll get there. Yeah.
Recorded that album, Baltimore Street Rat. You recorded that pretty early in the band's mm-hmm. life, right?
Yeah.
Like how long after?
After we, or no, like
no, it wasn't even.
We released I guess, it like less than a year after we played our first show.
Yeah, we it was 6 months after we played our first show.
Because
yeah.
the thing yeah. is, like Christian was saying, like we had kind of been playing these songs just the two of us for a while. So then once we kind of got the full piece of, or the other pieces of the band, it was kind of just like, okay, well here are the songs. And they got to contribute their parts and change them up. But so we were able to play shows and get into the studio pretty quickly once we actually got all five pieces
in. Yeah, the people we recorded with, we met at our second show.
Yeah.
And they just came up after the show and they're like,
really?
This is great. Yeah. And mm-hmm. we ended up recording with them pretty much maybe like a month after that.
Yeah.
It was only our second show and we were playing in like a wow. gravel parking lot, like a nursery. Like it was a terrible, absolutely awful performance.
The nursery circuit. That's a big
deal. Yeah, right? Yeah, it was all on one extension cord.
Power went out on our set.
Yeah. The power went out like six times.
They're like, what did they like about that?
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, I know. I thought we were like horrible, but they had just opened a studio and were looking for bands to record. And so they... We're like, come by see the studio.
Yeah.
So we did. And
it's in Purcellville,
mm-hmm.
which is sort of the Muscle Shoals of Northern
right,
Virginia.
Yeah, right, yeah. It's just like in the middle, like off the beaten path. It's an industrial park.
Yeah.
And like, that's where but I grew it was, up. I mean, it was like beautiful.
Yeah.
Like that
studio. Yeah, it was a gorgeous studio.
They have a 1920 Steinway.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. And cool I saw it. I was like, I shouldn't touch this because I haven't washed my hands in the past 5 minutes. You know what I mean? Like, you just don't, you want to be as like sterile as possible. It's like such a piece of art. Yeah, exactly. I should put on gloves before I play this thing.
Question about your music, since we're talking about the recording and everything. I think these days, when you listen to independent bands, not necessarily indie rock bands, but independent bands, you can kind of pick out their influences pretty quickly. But I don't think that's the case with you guys.
That's cool.
It doesn't seem to me anyway that there are obvious things that you can kind of point to. So what are those influences? Is it just really well integrated? Are you guys all music junkies then, and you're constantly listening to a lot of stuff or where does that come from?
We all definitely have our own kind of like separate batch, I would say. But I think we're all pretty much on the same page as liking the same general sounds.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Like, you know, like I have my favorite bands, Christian has his, everyone has their own, but everyone seems to kind of also enjoy it and can draw inspiration in certain ways here or there. But I think everyone musically definitely has their own kind of influence and
I would say
way of playing.
Mm-hmm.
Each
mm-hmm.
of us, like, I definitely agree, but I would say all of us have pretty eclectic tastes. Like, I don't think any of us are stuck in any pocket of
okay.
music. No, so, yeah, it's pretty broad.
Is that better or worse? Is it better for a band to all sort of have the same influences and same taste, or is it better for it to be more diverse?
I think diverse.
Yeah. I'm under the impression that like having more diversity in the music taste is
so important because it's kind of like it creates this like bigger Venn diagram of what you can potentially pull from, rather than like, oh, we all really like Radiohead or we all really like Van Halen or whatever it may be. Right. It's like, instead, it's like someone may like Modest Mouse, but I also really like Sam Cooke, but also someone really likes Devo, or it's like,
yeah.
And so it's kind of like getting these weird pockets of influence amongst all of us, and then just kind of like plopping them together with five pieces in a room.
Yeah, I think it'll like kind of make for a more unique sound, I guess, having, you know, because I mean, if everyone likes the same two bands, and chances are you're probably going to end up writing stuff that sounds like those two bands.
Exactly.
I think all music is good too. And like, not necessarily, I wouldn't say like good in like a traditional sense of like how people like break down music, but all music, you can draw from. It doesn't matter like what it is. And you, I think at least early on playing music, you kind of like immediately start being a butthole about stuff. And you're like, ew, you like that, man. You know what I mean? But that's a stupid mentality. Like, because we kind of saw like, a lot of times being in the studio, and being in the industry, like producers who make pop music are very talented people. Like, don't get me wrong, whether the person made it or not, whether the, you know, they have like 20 ghostwriters or not, that's, you know, whatever. The grand scheme of the song as a whole is that very talented people made that song. Yeah. And there is an art to it, just like anything else, just like hip hop, just, you know, country. And kind of inspiration and beauty can be drawn from every piece of music, you know, because like there's, you could say like, everybody goes, the Beatles are amazing, which they are. Don't get me wrong. But really early on the Beatles' career, if you were to be like, you know, like some of their earlier tracks are kind of dumb and poppy, people be like, oh my God, how could you say that? But you're like, it was like, it was pop. They were making like skiffle or whatever it's called, you know? So, but like you can still draw inspiration from that. And like, there's no objectivity to like, what is good. You know, everything can be good, you know?
Piano, so when you joined, did you have a sense of what these guys sounded like, that you were going to have to fit into a certain style, or what was your kind of impression when you heard them play?
Yeah, it was kind of terrifying, because they're all super intimidating.
We're like, play your instrument!
I'm trying! No, it's a new genre for me. It wasn't a genre that I'd played before.
Okay.
And so listening to it, I was really nervous. Because it was like, first of all, stepping into someone else's position,
sure,
who's like extremely talented. Yeah. It's like, you know, it's a lot of pressure. But the music itself, like, it's really, really well written. It's, aww, yeah, it really is.
Thank you.
And there's like so much emotion put into it. And it's different. It's interesting because so many people like this genre of music. And it's easy to kind of just fall into this like stereotypical pocket in that genre, but I don't see that in this band.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was a strange experience at first, but I really love it, and like it's the best time of my life. So.
Oh, that's great. That's awesome.
I love you.
Tissues, please.
Take a moment.
There's a lot of love in this tiki bar.
Yeah, there really is a lot of love in this tiki bar.
All right, that was part one.
Yeah.
Part two is going to be tomorrow.
Part two.
As I mentioned, I think this band has real potential, and they also seem to have really good attitude about things, right?
They definitely do, and certainly, they seem to get along with each other pretty well. So I think they could be onto something here. And obviously, appearing on this podcast pretty much seals the deal.
That's right.
Yeah. It is like the golden seal.
That's right.
Yeah, so...
All right. If anyone out there would like to comment on the show, you can find us via the telephone.
Mm-hmm.
Old school technology, the telephone, 612-440-1984. There we go. Or the Also, by this point, old school technology, the email.
That's right.
rock@suburbspod.com. But then the newer stuff that the kids, like the kids and kid brother might be into, would be the social medias.
Socials. Mm-hmm.
And that would be Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. Those three, at least for now.
Yep.
You can find those all at Suburbs Pod.
If you're just running around in Percival or Leesburg, just stick your head out the window and yell.
Yeah, just yell out the car window.
Repeatedly, and somebody will come.
Yeah.
Someone will come.
It's Rock in the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
And I'm intern Sam.
And we'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
We all have the same tattoo that we got. That's it's a magnet, a U for unit, because it's like a long running. We are a unit, and that's like I was really drunk one time, texting the entire group, and I was like, "We can do anything as long as we stay a unit. We are a unit, and I love you all." And so the unit thing became like a long running joke. But anyways.